Welcome to today's meeting. This is the third in the series, Everything is Missed. Today's Karen's message is entitled, In His Time. Let us now listen to Karen.
Reading. I haven't read from the Bible yet. Now, it's been a little bit tricky the last few weeks, these Bible readings. They haven't been the most cheery up there kind of Bible readings from Ecclesiastes. And although Kay and Glenn did a great job reading us those Bible readings, I found a little bit, when you get to the end. Well, today's reading is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to open them to Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. So Psalms is in the middle, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And if you want to find chapter 3, we're going to look at that passage today. So as Tim said already, we're in the third week of our In the Mist series, looking through the book of Ecclesiastes. We're following along with Solomon's search for meaning, and also for our search for meaning, where God is within that place. So this passage today, we're going to present to you as a YouTube clip to watch, and you can follow along with your own Bible. Might be a slightly different version, so it's always good to see what your version says, where the words are different, a different description. If you are a visual person, I invite you to just watch and look at the images that are presented. So some of us love pictures and images, and the words are presented in such a way that they paint a picture today. So I'd love you to just sit back and enjoy that, take it in. If you want to follow along in your Bible as you do, please do. Whatever way your mind works and whatever you take it in, I pray today that you will really receive this message from God and allow it to speak to your heart. Before we look at the clip, I'd like to pray. So let's pray together. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for this living word that teaches us, that you speak to us through your word. Lord, as we do hear this today, as we look at the images, we look at the words, we listen to the words, may they sink deep into our hearts. Lord, you're great. You're so good to us, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks.
For everything that happens in life, there is a season, a right time for everything under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to collect the harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, a time to pile them up, a time for a warm embrace, a time for keeping your distance, a time to search, a time to give up as lost, a time to keep, a time to throw out, a time to tear apart, a time to bind together, a time to be quiet, a time to speak up, a time to love, a time to hate. A time to go to war, a time to make peace. I know everything God does endures for all time. Nothing can be added to it, nothing can be taken away from it. We humans can only stand in awe of all God has done. What has been and what is to be already is, and God holds accountable all the pursuits of humanity.
Have you ever felt like time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future? Or that you're trapped in this, you know, this endless cycle, like a mouse on a wheel? There's hamster wheels that keep going round and round and round. I wonder if you've said this, October already? How did it get to be October? It'll be Christmas before we know it. Has anyone said that in the last week? All right. When Tim had the pharmacy and people would come in to get their scripts, they would say, oh, what's the date today? What's the date? You know, no one ever knew what the date was. I never know what the date is. What's the date? say it's the 13th of October. Already? It can't be. And they'd say this, time goes quicker the older that you get. The older I get, the faster time is slipping by. Oh, look, oh, the nods in the room, so you must have said that as well. So the writer of this chapter in Ecclesiastes, he's presented this most profound and often discussed poem. In 1965, the birds made this Bible passage famous. Now, unfortunately, that was before my timeline had begun, so I can't really tell you anything about it. But maybe you remember that song when it came out. Anyone got any distinct memories about how it was received? I actually wanted to ask, what did the church think about that song when it came out? Because it's a Bible passage presented as this modern song. So I don't know if it was well accepted or if it was a little bit, hey, what are you doing with the Bible? You'll have to discuss that over morning tea and let us know. Does anyone actually remember a response to that song when it came out? Carly, you had your hand up. Remember? Oh, this song, you know. To everything, turn, turn, turn. Carla, what do you remember the response?
It went to the top of the hip parade in England.
Went to the top of the hip parade in England. Right, well, talk about that at morning tea. I'm not going to play it today. It's actually a song, a poem that's often quoted at funerals. You know, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Just recognising, yes, this happens, this is part of our timeline. There's some really undeniable truths here about time. But as we've already seen so far in our study of Ecclesiastes, sometimes there's more questions presented than answers. We kind of get to that point of pondering, I wonder what it all means. So yes, there is a time for everything. And today we want to find a truth in this passage that's timely for right now, for today. So God's timing is pretty good that you are here today, right here, right now, in this place. So as the psalm says, I pray that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable to him today. So I have a confession to make to you at the onset of our time together. I love Doctor Who. Now, I don't know if there are any Whovians among us. Are there any people that actually really like Doctor Who? Derek likes Doctor Who. Tim likes... right, there's a few people. Doctor Who actually started in 1963. So it was just before... There is a time for everything. So maybe the birds were challenged by Doctor Who's concepts about time. I don't know. I don't know at all. I'm just throwing some Whovian theory out there. So the Doctor, if you don't know, he's a Gallifreyan. I said to Tim last night, it's almost like a Galilean. He's not from Galilee, he's from Gallifrey, which is another planet. And if you haven't realised, it's just made up. It's not true. So he travels through time and space and he takes his listeners on a great adventure. He is a time lord, but he's not controlling or not able to change time. So he's not really much of a lord if he can't change things in time. But he does travel through time and relative dimensions in space in his TARDIS, and he meets Daleks and Cybermen and weeping angels, which is one of my favourite, what do you call those things? No, the like Daleks, and they're all called the bad guys. They've got a name. Where's Jeremy? Antagonist? I don't know. The bad guys in Doctor Who. There's one called Weeping Angels. And from this episode, where they're going into time, Doctor Who says this about time, and I'll just make sure I can do this. Yes. People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect. But actually, this is where it gets fancy. From a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff. I think that sums up Ecclesiastes just in that passage right there. Time is a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff. You like that concept of time? It doesn't always make sense to us. There's another piece of contemporary wisdom. I don't know if it's really wisdom. It's a way that people are trying to understand time. And this is from a show called The Good Place, which I don't recommend you go and watch, or Doctor Who either, but it's an interesting Netflix comedy. And Michael is this immortal being who greets the people and takes them around. He's an architect, and he builds neighbourhoods for humans' habitation in the afterlife. So he looks at time and he describes it like this. It's not a row of things where one event and the next event and the next event happens. Although here on earth it is, one thing happens, the next thing happens, you can't go back again. But when he's talking about eternity, he said, if I was to map out all the events and things that happen and how God plans stuff, it looks like Jeremy Beremy. The word Jeremy Beremy. Now, that's his very humorous take on things, but I looked at Jeremy Beremy, and maybe it's because I have a Jeremy, but I kind of like that concept. It's so weird. It's wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff, isn't it? So there you go. If you hear someone talking about Jeremy Beremy, one of the young kids, that's what it means. Has anyone heard of Jeremy Beremy? No, blank. Even the people younger than me haven't heard of Jeremy Beremy. You have to ask Jeremy about Jeremy Beremy. So let's head to Ecclesiastes, shall we? That's enough of this messing around. We'll go back to Ecclesiastes. Solomon writes this, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. He then goes on to give us 14 pairs of words. I know, opposites. He gives the good and the bad together. It's not a which one of these would you like, to be born or to die. You can circle whichever one you choose. It's not like that. There's not a choice here. There are things that we get, the good and the bad together, and the in-betweens of these things as well. It reminds me a bit of marriage vows in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, better or worse. So these 14 pairs of words that we heard before presented, and we'll look at again in a minute, they're actually, it's quite a significant aspect in this poem of like a poetic element that they use. So there's this sense of completion, of being a total picture of everything. The Hebrews use the number 7 as God's perfect number, and one of the commentators says this is like putting 7 together and 7 and having this intensely perfect poem with 14 things presented. So when Solomon starts, he starts with the bookends. He starts at the very beginning. There's a time to be born and a time to die. The rest of the pairs and the words he's putting in there all fit within these nicely labelled bookends there for his poem. So the next verses talk about creating and destroying, that sense of new and old, a time to be born, a time to die, to plant and to uproot, to kill and to heal, to tear down and a time to build. Even the fact that this poem has that same start each time, a time to, a time to, a time to, gives it that sense of over and over, round and round, in the hamster wheel, chasing, chasing, chasing. It adds to that feeling when we were talking a couple of weeks ago about that futility of wash the clothes, dry the clothes, fold the clothes up, wear the clothes again, the clothes get dirty, wash the clothes again, you know, that round and round. So this way they present this poem also adds to that feel again. Now the next verse talks about our emotions and our feelings. There's a time. Click, can you just click to the next one for me? There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. So it's really uncomfortable if you have the wrong emotion at the wrong time, don't you think? Something's very sad and you laugh. I don't know. I think I'd feel really uncomfortable if I didn't understand my emotions. And as a little boy, our son Thomas was watching The Rescuers with the little mice Disney cartoon. And Penny, if you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it, but Penny, the little orphan girl, finally gets a home. She gets adopted by this lovely family. And it's this lovely moment. It's very happy, the end of the movie. And I look down at this little 2 or 3 year old with tears streaming down his face. And he said, "Mummy, it's happy. I'm crying. It's happy. I'm crying." He didn't understand his response. But we do experience in life a gamut of emotions, sometimes all at once. And sometimes it can be quite uncomfortable. But Solomon says here, there's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Next thing he talks about is scattering stones and gathering stones. Have you ever been along the beach and seen those little piles of rocks like they showed us in that verse before? There's a time to pick up stones as you walk along the beach. There's a time to put them down. There's other meanings that we have behind stones. When you're preparing a field in the Old Testament times in Isaiah, They talk about preparing the field by removing all the stones. And another time where to get to the enemies that they were in the land in Kings, they destroyed the towns and each man threw a stone on every field until it was covered. So they were kind of, you know, we're going to get you, we're going to wreck your fields, we're going to throw these stones all over them, we're going to scatter these stones so that you can't prosper. So then we have these other pairs, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but to a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, searching, giving up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to go to the family store and collect things and buy things, a time to take things back to the family store. My husband has a thing about going to the family store lately and coming home and saying, oh, I bought a generator. Thanks. And a pair of thongs. What else? Lots of things. So there's a time to buy things from the family store. There's a time to take things there. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. Isn't that a tricky one? Knowing when the time is where you actually should say something or you need to hold your tongue and not say something. A time to love and to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So if you think about that list, I'm sure there's plenty of experiences that come to your mind when there's been difficult times or times you've had to make choices. Some of these things are quite difficult to determine. So out of these things and the wisdom that Solomon has given us and the wisdom from Doctor Who and from Michael the Archangel, or maybe that's not quite wisdom, let's look about what God says here. And a lot of the wisdom comes in the next verses that follow that. And there are three things today that I want to pull out of this. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink, find satisfaction in all their toil. For this is the gift from God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does that so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been done, and what will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. So these three things I want to look at today. God is not subject to time. Unlike the Doctor who is a time lord, God is actually Lord of all time, Lord of all. I know that everything God does will endure forever, the verse says. Nothing can be added to it, nothing can be taken from it. The message says this, I've also concluded that whatever God does, that's the way it's going to be. Always. There's no addition, no subtraction. God's done it and that's it. That's so we'll quit asking our questions and we'll simply worship him in holy fear. So if God holds his time in his hands and he's the real time lord, what better response can we have than to place our time in his hands? It's actually recognising that every day, every moment is God's. The psalmist writes, the days given to me are already ordained for me, they're recorded in your book. The sooner we can learn that and live that, what freedom that gives to know that, oh, God, it's in your hands, it's your time. So God is not subject to time. The second thing is that God makes all things beautiful in his time. All things have a time and a place. All things have a purpose, as we've learnt from reading through that list there. The good and the bad, the opposites, God uses all things. He doesn't just take the highlight reel, doesn't take the Facebook moments of the great things that have happened in life, but he takes all things. He uses all experiences, and he turns these things to his purpose. Now, you might have had some experiences that you don't believe should have been in your timeline, things that just weren't fair. I asked a question this week of a few people and said, what do you think about God's timing? Has there been a point in your life where you kind of thought, yeah, that I step back now and I see the sense? And a very honest answer came that said, no, it doesn't make sense. I don't accept that that was God's time for me. I don't know why that happened, and I'm still coming to terms with that. And that's okay. That's a really honest response to what happens in our lives. But at some point, we do need to come to that realization that God is sovereign over all. God does take all things and he does make them beautiful in his time. And that's a hard thing. Some people take a long time to get to that point, and it's a really important thing. So the verse we had, he made all things beautiful in his time. And I've got a quote from Anne Frank. So I think you're all familiar with Anne Frank. So her diary was left after the Holocaust. She was a young Jewish girl, and we're privileged to be able to read her experience in those words. And she said this, "I don't think of all the misery, but of all the beauty that still remains." So if you can be in a concentration camp and be hiding from your people that are going to persecute you and still see the beauty in something and realise that God will take those things and make all things beautiful, I reckon we could do that too. The third thing we have is that God has put eternity into the hearts of man, into all of us. He's put eternity into our hearts. So God made us in his own image. God is an all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God. So the word that they use here, the Hebrew word for eternity, is this ever-present, ever-knowing. We see only part of God's plan, for in this life we're mortal. We are finite in our existence, yet we desire to see more. We have this inborn inquisitiveness, the commentator's written, to learn how everything in our experience can be integrated to make this into a beautiful whole. So God has designed us to spend eternity with him. His desire is for us to have a relationship with him. And that isn't just in eternity, but it's right now. It begins today. It's already begun for most of you already. But that time for eternity begins here and now. And God's plan for that hinges on Jesus. Everything was timed to perfection when Jesus came to this earth as a baby in the manger. It was all timed out to have the roads in the right spot, the language the right way. Everything was timed perfectly. And God sent his son so that we might have that eternal life. The Gospel of John opens with this statement about Jesus and his place in eternity. Here, when it's talking about the Word, it talks about, it's referring to Jesus. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and it cannot be extinguished. So God has also set eternity into the human heart. No one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So three timely truths: that God is not subject to time. He is the sovereign Lord over all time. God makes all things, not just the good, but all things that happen in life, all the things in our wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff, everything beautiful in his time. And that God has put eternity into the hearts of men. So perhaps today your response is that you need to actually make God the Lord in your life. You need to subject yourself to him and allow him to be in that position of king, to make him the sovereign over all your days and all your hours, all your moments. Or perhaps you need to accept that some things that have happened are actually beautiful in God's timing and that they're meant to be. Knowing that whatever you will go through, he makes all things beautiful. And maybe you need to think a bit more about eternity, not just today or tomorrow, but you need to plan further ahead. What will you be doing forever? What are you going to do in the forever time? Can we actually grasp eternity? Can we understand what eternity means? It's really hard. I've got a little practical thing here that you're going to do, and thanks to Ray for bringing this for me. I've got a rope, and it's really big and heavy. So Tim's going to bring that rope around. And if you want to and the rope comes near you, you might like to just reach out and hold the rope and pass it to someone near you. So just grab the rope there, Fred. You can pass it along, pass it around. This rope is, I think it's 50 metres. Is that right? 50 metres of rope. It's a long rope. But I want you to imagine that there's no end to this reel. This rope actually keeps going forever and ever and ever and ever. It wraps around the world and then it just keeps going. So just imagine that this rope goes all the way around the world. It goes all the way around space. I can't even imagine that. Can you fathom that? I know Solomon in his wisdom gives this illustration and says, I can't quite understand it. You're right there, Tim. You're going to get tangled in the end. It might be that it's not going to go all the way through every single aisle, so you might just need to make some loose bits and let it reach out. So a commentator, a preacher, an American man called Francis Chan, not Andrew Chan, it's interesting, Ray talks about Andrew Chan, and Francis Chan, I was listening to him preaching about time and things, and he was talking about eternity. Can you hold on to that rope with one hand and have a look at the piece of rope that just fits between your fingers, that little piece of rope? And it's coming. Sorry, people over this side. If this rope is eternity and it lasts forever and ever and ever, the time that you spend here on earth is smaller than this little bit here. That's it. So we get so hung up about what we're doing and what's going on and, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen in the next hour? Oh, what am I doing after I finish here? I don't know. That's all contained in that, just that little bit right there. So the rest of it is where we'll spend eternity. So what does that look like? And we're all sort of sitting in a linear position here where I've got a bit first, but I'll tell you right now, I didn't come in this bit and then Fred come along later and then Mari. It's, you have to kind of put that wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey flick onto it. But if you consider that life is like a piece of rope, as long as this goes forever and ever and ever, then how much weight do we put on this much in our hands when what we should really focus on is the rest of the rope? So the rest of you, you'll just have to pretend that rope goes forever and ever and ever. It does go forever and ever and ever. Do you know what? You can hold on to that rope and you can keep thinking. I'm gonna drop my end of the rope, but I'm still holding on. I want to share an illustration of a young couple. A young couple grew up in the Salvation Army, and when they had only been married for a little while, they wanted to meet with the general. So they met with the general of the Salvation Army and said to the general, I think we'd like to do some ministry in the church. What would you like us to do? So they had a desire to go and serve God, and they asked about working overseas, doing some mission work. What a crazy thing to do, hey Fred? Who'd do that? Go overseas and do some mission work. So letters went, talked to the officer and then to the next levels. And in the Salvation Army, if you're not familiar with the hierarchy, to divisional headquarters and territory headquarters, all the way to international headquarters in London to say, hello, we'd like to do some work, this young couple said. The question, though, was all in the timing. What is God's timing? What's the right time? So when this young couple thought this must be the right time, the powers that be said, no, actually, thanks for the offer, but no, it's not the right time. So rather than say, oh, God, what are you doing? The couple decided they'd start a family, have their children, have some fantastically handsome young boys, and keep going, keep serving God where they were. Eventually, the plan that they presumed God had in place fell a bit by the wayside, and it didn't eventuate. So was that even the plan in the first place? Who knows? They wanted that. So let's skip ahead to 2019, and that young couple aren't actually so young anymore. That couple found themselves here in Caloundra. Crazy. Now, that was not something that that young couple expected. It's not something that we expected. But Tim and I know that God's planning, God's time is perfect. We strongly believe that his timing for us to be in this place, in this time, is exactly what God wants. Did we see that along the way? No, not really. Was it always easygoing to accept what was happening? No. And did it look like God was making all things beautiful in his time? Certainly not. Plenty of things were beautiful and plenty of things on the way, but it certainly was hard to grasp. But we do know these three things to be true, that God is not subject to time. He's Lord of all. God does take all things and makes them beautiful in his time. And God has put eternity into our hearts. We long for that desire to be with Jesus. We walk by faith and not by sight. We look for that time where our earthly bodies groan and we say, oh God, I just want to be there with you in eternity. Now time does tick by. The seconds tick, 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 like your heartbeat. So I want you just to sit quietly for a moment. See if you can hear it. Maybe you want to put your hand somewhere where you can feel your heartbeat. I take some heart medication. It keeps my heart going at 60 beats a second, a minute. It's really good. Your heart might be all over the place. It might be faster or slower, depending on what's happened. But it keeps on ticking. And when it doesn't tick anymore, well, that piece of rope that we're holding moves on to the next part. So I want you to take a moment and just talk to God about these things. Have you got any questions about any of those things? And today you might just want to consider that. We have a place here where if you'd like to, you can come and meet with God. A place here where you can pray. There's always opportunities to pray with other people. Maybe ask God what it is he wants to teach you out of this. Ask him what it is he wants to impress on your heart today. We sang that song already, 10,000 Reasons. The sun comes up and we talked about the times through it. And thanks, Cess, it was a great description. You know, there's good times and bad times. We have to wonder where we are. What are these things? But God gives us 10,000 reasons, 100,000 reasons why he's a good God, why we can be praising his name. So I want us to just reflect on the start of that song. We're going to listen to it together. Take your time just to make that personal prayer. Take that time to reflect, think about God. And if you want to join in with us, we're going to sing that song together as our final song today. But I do want to give you that opportunity. If you think, oh, I just want to come and pray with you, God, I just want to ask you these questions, then please do that.
Thank you for joining us today. If you would like to know more, our service is at 10 a.m. at the Caloundra Salvation Army, 119 Sugarbag Road, Little Mountain. And God bless.